Turn tonight to the book of Malachi, and chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, In what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, How have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into this storehouse, that there may be food in mine house, and test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And then all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Guide us in our thinking, Father. Help us to understand your truth and the glory that you expect out of your people in this hour when they were so poor spiritually. Help us not to make that mistake. Challenge us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to give you the following names and the positions they held in industry, could you tell me what they all had in common? Mr. Cromwell, he was the founder of Quaker Oats. Mr. Colgate, he was the founder of Colgate Soap. Mr. Proctor, well, Ivory Soap fame. A. Hyde, mentholatum. And Henry Delaney of Resinol Ointment. And Mr. Matthias Baldwin, founder of Baldwin Locomotive Industry. You know what they all had in common? They all began to tithe when they were poor. And they refused to rob God, whether they were poor or whether they were millionaires. And it has been said by another well-known preacher that one of the greatest sins in America today is the fact that we are robbing God of that which rightfully belongs to Him. When we do not tithe, we shirk a just debt. And actually, we're not giving any of our money when we give God one-tenth. For the tithe belongs already to the Lord. See Leviticus 27:30, which says, A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. And it is holy to the Lord. The tithe is a debt which we owe, and not until we've given a tenth are we actually making an offering to the Lord. And this is something the people of God in Malachi's day had sadly forgotten to their sorrow. And so it will be with us if we do the same, if we fail to give God the tithes that already belong to Him. The Lord begins this section with a general statement that His people have gone away from His ordinances. Malachi 3:7, Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances, and you have not kept them. That's a very simple statement. You've gone away from my ordinances. God does not yet mention which ordinances bother Him here. When His people do not give to His ordinances or keep His ordinances, Certainly it's a serious thing to depart from any of God's ordinances, but God seems here to have a particular ordinance in mind. Thus the people sarcastically ask which ordinances God has in his mind. It's like they are asking God, "What's bugging you, God? Which ordinances do you want us to keep? Which is the most serious of all the ordinances that you expect us to keep while you talk about them?" It seems as if these people respond as follows: "God, we think of any of the ordinances we need to keep, we can't remember any. God, we're thoroughly puzzled in what you're talking about. So get off of our backs." Thus, in some detail, God tells them of the clear evidence of their departures and the necessity of a return to the Lord on a particular matter which is needed. And this is a very important matter. So we will divide this message into several sections. Whereby God's people have not obeyed God and their responsibility to Him. So first of all, God raises a very serious question. Will a man rob God? That's chapter 3, verse 8. Is this command not one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal from another person his rightful possessions. Thou shalt not steal in any manner, neither by cheating, neither by lying, neither by the seizing of someone else's goods. But though the Ten Commandments are enough, that is not the only place where robbery is condemned in the Bible. It's good enough for the Bible God to tell us in the Bible that we have to keep his commandments, and we have to keep even giving to him the tithe. But though the Ten Commandments are enough, that is not the only place where robbery is condemned in the Bible. This is what people do when they don't give the tithe. They rob God. Psalm 62:10 says, "Do not become vain in your robbery." Proverbs 21:7, God says, "The robbery of the wicked shall destroy you." One who robs and takes from one another cannot get away with it, is what God says. In Ezekiel 22:29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and they have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Robbery is wrong no matter who commits it and who it is against. Nahum 3:1 says, "Woe to that bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery." Robbery is often accompanied by the shedding of blood and lies. So robbery is as bad as killing people, taking their blood, and even lying to people. But the Bible also uses the word steal numerous times when we talk about this matter of robbing God. Leviticus 10:11, "You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another." So here's falsehood. We're to be honest with God. And Jeremiah 7:9, "Will you steal? And will you murder? And will you commit adultery? And will you swear falsely? And will you burn incense unto Baal and walk after the other gods?" You see, stealing is as bad as murder, as bad as adultery, as bad as swearing, and as bad as burning incense to the false gods. Murder, adultery, swearing, all of them go together. And taking even God's money goes in that pile. In Matthew 19:18, Jesus said, "Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal." So in Matthew 19:18, the word steal is there with the word adultery. It's as bad as adultery, and it's as bad as murder. It's right there with them. In John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy," to steal money. Notice that stealing is associated with killing and destruction, and it isn't giving you abundant life. It's cutting off God's blessings. Ephesians 4:28, Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Surely the true believer will not participate in any kind of stealing, but he will labor with his hands so he can give to ones in need, which includes what we give to the church, the Lord's church. So we would ask, after what we have just seen, will a man rob God? Who could possibly be so audacious and bold and arrogant and ignorant as to do such a thing as robbing God? And yet people do it all the time. When you rob God, when you don't give the tithe, you're robbing God. It's in the scriptures. But second, we've seen the serious questions. Will a man rob God? But secondly, God makes an alarming accusation against the people to whom Malachi is speaking. And God says, but you people that Malachi is talking to, you have robbed me, God says. Our text clearly says, men have robbed God. The men Malachi addressed, men of Israel, have robbed God. Men who profess to be part of God's chosen people have robbed God. Men who should know better are robbing God. Men are weekly going to God's house and robbing God and don't give of what they should. Men who offer sacrifices for their sins have still robbed God because they haven't given to God the money that belongs to God. Men who profess to know and love God have robbed God. Men who argue their own godliness and righteousness have robbed God. And men who have plenty of money have robbed God. Such men have taken money and that belonged to God and they stuffed it into their own pockets and spent it on themselves just as sure as if they had walked into a bank and robbed a bank. Yes, God says, they have robbed me, saith the Lord. So, serious question, will a man rob God? Answer, an alarming accusation, yes, they will rob God. And they do rob God. And notice, third, men, strange enough, state a denial as they ask. And this is verse 8 of chapter 3. How have we robbed God? We're not guilty of robbing God. But even as Malachi states this accusation against God, men are offended. Men ask in amazement, how have we robbed you, God? No way. We haven't robbed you, God. We're honest men. We're respectable men. We wouldn't rob God. We see no way that we would or could ever, ever, ever rob God. We didn't climb up into heaven and rob God's heavenly bank, speaking maybe jokingly as Malachi told them they were robbing God. We didn't hit God in the head and take his money, ha, 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 ha. Someone has written a poem. Once there was a Christian. He had a pious look. His consecration was complete, except his pocketbook. He'd put a nickel in the plate, and then with might and main, he'd sing, when we asunder part, it gives me inward pain. This man was probably one who asked, me? Rob God? Oh, not me. What kind of person do you think I am? So, question, will a man rob God? Answer, yes. You're robbing God. Strong denial. How have we robbed God? Which brings us to the fourth idea. God gives further startling answers. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Chapter 3, verse 8. Someone might ask at this point, does the Bible really teach tithing? Genesis 14, 20. We've already seen that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Numerous passages mention tithes. It is clear in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Matthew 23, 23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and Arise and Annas, excuse me, and Cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought to have been done, and not to leave the other undone. Yes, woe to you scribes. You pay tithes, but you've omitted some of the heavier things. You pay tithes of mint and cumin, but you don't really give that which is good to anybody at sometimes. But many are like the man who was a seemingly very devout man. As he worshipped, he sang heartily, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." But when the offering plate passes by, this man who sang that song, did you get the words to it? The whole realm, if it was mine. Oh, that was a present to me. Oh, far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. But when it comes to the offering plate and comes to tithing, this man doesn't tithe. How soon we forget our obligations. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And yet so many Christians, people who say they're Christians, do not tithe. So, question, will a man love God? Answer, you're robbing God. Well, how we rob God? In tithes and offerings. But a curse is on some men. They're robbing God. Which brings me to the fifth idea. God states that the lack of tithing has brought a curse upon people. This is verse 9. The Old Testament believer was cursed for the continual lifestyle of robbing God. The New Testament believer surely loses the fullness of God's blessings by having a stingy heart which robs God as he also robs himself of the blessings of God. There's a poem that says, "He said he wouldn't make a pledge unto the church at all." He's not going to tithe. That he would give just when he felt the urgency, the call. But still he bought a car and pledged to pay it off someday. And then a house in which to live, and each month he would pay that. He pledged to pay his telephone, his electricity, and gas. He pledged to pay his water bill. He never let that pass. He pledged to pay his taxes too upon his house and sod. But not one cent, never gave to the house, the blessed house of God. I wonder how many church members are like that. They don't give the tithe. So sixth, God clearly commands us that we are to do this, give the tithe. 3:10. We are to bring all our tithes into the storehouse, which in the Old Testament, obviously, was to bring the tithe through the priests who were the appointed recipients. But what would that appointed place be in the New Testament days? What organization did Christ found in the New Testament? What was Christ speaking of when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it"? Oh, did you see that? Upon this rock, I'll build my church. That's where we give our tithe. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. It doesn't say upon this place where these people like to go out there and be all by themselves. Upon this rock, I will build my church in the gates of hell. That's a church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And what organization did he establish? For the propagation of the gospel, it was the church. What organization did he give himself for on the cross as he died there? Was it not for his church, the people who were saved? What then is the storehouse today? Somebody says, well, I'll give my tithe here, and then I'll give it over, part of it over there, and I'll give part of it over there, and I got some missionary friends way over there, I'll give it over. No. The storehouse is the church to which we are to bring our tithes. And the church gives. You should be able to give above the tithe to whatever you want. But the tithe belongs to the Lord, and the church is the storehouse. What then is the storehouse? Not the TV preacher. Oh, send me your money, the TV preacher says. Not the radio preacher. Not your favorite pastor from years gone by that you send your money 100 miles away to. Not your favorite human charity organization. No, and 1,000 times no. It is the church, your local church, to which you belong. And you need to belong. All of us need to belong to a local church. And that's where we're supposed to give the tithe. And we don't, it's not our choice. God says that's where our money belongs. Bring your tithe to the storehouse. Yet many don't give to the church. They give to the radio preacher. Oh, the TV preacher. They give to the preacher from years gone by, a man they really loved. They call whoever, whatever, whenever these men are around, they give money to them, give tithe to them. Is it not our local church that prays for us and ministers to us and is concerned about us? And isn't that where God says our tithe belongs? God clearly tells us to tithe. And he clearly tells us to bring the tithe to the storehouse. But seventh, God grants to them a promise along with the command, verses 10 through 12. What a blessed command God gives us. Prove God and see what he will do when you honor him with your giving as he commands you. God will bless you for giving the tithe and giving it to the right place. He will open, and this is continuing the passage, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you cannot measure its abundance. He will even give you more and more and more money to give to God. And he will rebuke the devourer so that the nation shall call you blessed. The Christian who tithes will be surprised at the amount of money he will have for the Lord's work in the passing of time as he's faithful. The Christian who tithes will be surprised at the deepening of his spiritual life who pays the tithe to the storehouse. The Christian who tithes will be surprised at the ease of meeting his own obligations with his remaining funds. The Christian will be surprised at the ease of going from one-tenth to a larger percentage to be able to give to God. And the Christian who tithes will be surprised that this will guide him to be a faithful and wise steward over the rest of his 9/10 of the money that God gives him, and God will give him more to give. Surprised. Yes. The Christian who tithes will be surprised that he hadn't adopted this plan sooner of honoring God with the tithe. How sad that many people are so blind to the fact that they are robbing God. They don't know it. And multitudes, how much of his blessings they have and are missing by failure to honor God with their tithe. How sad that so many people of today are blind to the fact that they are robbing God and even themselves of his blessings. No wonder the heart of Malachi was burdened, as is today the hearts of pastors and the hearts of godly Christians who understand these truths. Someone has written, leftovers are such humble things. We would not serve them to a guest, leftovers. And yet we serve leftovers to our Lord, who deserves the very best. We give to him leftover time, stray minutes here and there, leftover cash. We give to him if we have a few coins to spare. We give our youth unto the world, to hatred, lust, and strife. Then in declaring years we give to him our broken life. Because that's what becomes of a person who does not tithe. Some way they will have a broken life because they've been robbing God. Well, I wonder if we learned that truth. Ignorance of God's love we've seen. Ignorance of God's curse upon these people. Wearying God we've seen in our study. And now we see the sin of robbing God. And in answer to the question, 3:8. Will a man rob God? It's done so much. It's done on Sunday. It's done through the week. It's done God's people. And I'm not doubting some of their salvation. There are people there who are lost. But even people who are saved don't have any idea about the fact that if they don't give their tithe, they're and give their tithe to the storehouse, they don't know that they're robbing from God. And I would never want to be guilty of robbing from God, would you? That would be the most horrible thing that a person could ever do. And so I think that we all ought to take a fresh look at what God gives us in finances and what we have in finances. And it's not up to me or anybody else to tell you what to do publicly. But I can say from the pulpit that these are serious questions. Are you robbing God? Are we robbing God? And it's very, very alarming if we are like the people in Malachi's day, if we are robbing God, and we know people that are robbing God, maybe our friends and family are robbing God. Strange enough, we denial. No, we don't rob God. We give. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And there's so many things in the Bible that when I preach them, I have to apply them to me. I can't just come to the Bible and pick out the things that I want to stand by. Well, yeah, I like that one thing in the Bible. Yeah, that's a good... but to give the tithe to the church, the storehouse to the church, I want to give my tithe to somebody else. Be careful. God gives further startling answers. As he says, you have robbed me. And I think we all ought to ask, have we ever robbed God? Are we robbing God of any of us today? Do we have a curse upon us because we rob God and we don't give God the tithe? Tithes and offerings? Curse on us? The text says, I didn't say it, the text says it. God grants a promise with a command. Prove God and see what he will do when you honor him with your giving as he commands you. That's chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. It says it clearly. I can't say it any better. Prove God and see what he will do when you honor him with your giving as he commands you. As he commands you. Not as you want to do it, but as he commands you to the storehouse. And if we do that, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that we cannot even be able to count it. He will rebuke the devourer so that the nation shall call you blessed. I wonder if we understand that. I don't want to bawl anybody out, but I ask all of us who are present, including me, do I honor God with the tithe? And do I honor God with the tithe at the church where I am a member? Not to sit back and send it to the brother that's over here or over there. Now, obviously, we can send above our tithe maybe to someone else, but the tithe belongs to the local church, the storehouse. And you may say you don't like it and you don't believe it, but I've given you what the Bible says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So you say, that's Old Testament. Same thing in the New Testament. We don't say, this is the New Testament, we don't have to tithe anymore. Show that to me in the Bible. Show that to me in the Bible. May God help us. And I don't want to bawl anybody out. I just want to set it before us. And it's between you and God. And whatever you do, you'll either get the praise of God when you stand before him, or the Lord might even ask, what did you do with my money all those days? You didn't give it to your local storehouse. You give it to someone else. You gave it to this fellow out here that you didn't even know. That's what a lot of people do. I don't mean to bawl anybody out. I'm just telling you what the scripture says, and I'm not saying anybody has done it wrong, but I'm simply telling you positively, here it is. The local church is the storehouse, and that's where the tithe belongs. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand your word. Help us to believe your word. Help us to practice your word, even though maybe we have neglected it somewhat in the past. Help us, Lord. Help us, help us, help us. And help all of your people. How much more could be done in this world if God's people were tithers and giving to their local church and not giving to some of these organizations that are shallow, without any depth. Help us, Lord. We don't mean to chastise anyone or even speak negatively. We simply set before us what your word says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Thank you, Lord, for teaching these things. In Jesus' name.
I might have told you once that Columbia Bible College, a couple of students realizing the mandate to tithe, they decided to tithe to each other. And one would tithe to his friend would tithe to him, and they would kind of break even that way. So they had, in their mind, accomplished the letter of the law of tithing. But there's a little bit of a problem with their spirit there. We're told that a fool and his money will soon part, as Doc's pointed out. In regard to tithing, a fool and his money will not part, showing themselves to be a fool by not giving to the Lord's work. And our attitude, of course, often is found in how we handle riches. You know, the Bible says we cannot serve God and mammon. So if money rules our hearts, we can't give because it's just too much of a love and a root into our hearts. It really is depicting our relationship with the Lord as well. So it's more than just money. It's not money. It's the principle of the thing. But there's a saying with that. If someone says that, it's the money. But no, in this case, it's the principle of the thing. That the widow who gave her penny gave more than all the others who poured in their riches because her heart was in it. She gave her all. So let's all stand. We'll come again tomorrow and conclude our study in Malachi at 7 o'clock. David, would you dismiss us in prayer?